Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Magic Software Enterprises 2020 First Quarter Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. With us online today are Magic CEO, Mr. Guy Bernstein, Magic CFO, Mr. Asaf Berenstein, and Magic VP of Technology and Innovation, Mr. Yuval Levy. Magic quarterly earnings release was issued before the market opened this morning, and it has been posted on the company's website at www.magicsoftware.com. Before we start, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements. The safe harbor provision provided in the press release issued today also applies to the contents of this call. Magic expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise any of these forward-looking statements, whether because of future events, new information, a change in its views or expectations, or otherwise. Also, during the conference call today, management will refer to non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation schedule showing GAAP versus non-GAAP results has been provided in the press release issued before the market opened this morning. A replay of this call will be available after the call on the Investor Relations section of the company's website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Asaf Berenstein, CFO of Magic Software. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ilana, and thank you everyone for joining us today as we report our first quarter 2020 financial results. We finished the second half of 2019 with a firm pipeline of business, which we expected will serve our continued strong momentum into 2020. Our first quarter results demonstrate our continued focus on supporting our existing customers and closing new deals, and the continued solid execution of our priorities of top-line growth, as we reported 19% year-over-year growth in the quarter, with sales mainly coming from expansion of our businesses in North America and in Israel, as well as in the Japanese market. Overall, COVID-19 had only a slight impact in the first quarter, as we prioritized our performance while adjusting our approach to operations. We work closely with our large customer base, supporting them in their transition to remote work format and addressing the challenges they face in this transition. The vast majority of Magic's employees had the tools to work remotely with the required infrastructure and guidelines in place. As a result, our transition to the work from home format was relatively smooth. Today, most of our deliverables to our existing customers continue as planned, and we didn't see any significant impact on our revenue streams from existing customers. Having said that, we may encounter delays in the onboarding of new projects later in the year or new sales of our software solutions, as enterprises may place new agreements on hold until there is less uncertainty from COVID-19. As we said in the past, our business is benefiting from global trends that are driving our growth. This includes first and foremost the demand for a wide range of top technologies, methodologies, and services for the SMB enterprise digital transformation demand for services as organizations continue to migrate from legacy systems to modern, flexible, on-premise or cloud-based solutions, as well as the need for meeting customers' expectations for digital and more personalized experience. Magic is well positioned to benefit from macro trends impacting our customers, which include the migration from legacy systems and the adoption of digital capabilities. The current business disruption related to COVID-19 highlights the need for enterprises to modernize their platforms so they can improve remote access and offer digital services. COVID-19 has proven to be an accelerator of the trends that began in the last few years. Today, more than ever, it has become essential for SMBs to increase digital capacity and service delivery through a variety of digital channels. This market shift will compel enterprises, small or big, to complete their digital transformation. From Magic's point of view, we have optimized our mode of operations to meet the new business reality. Our direct customer relations, as well as our trusted advisor approach, have been a beneficial aspect of our business model, especially in this challenging business environment, as we help customers address their new and unique challenges to COVID-19. In return, this helps us to secure our repeating revenue while increasing sales within our existing customer base. The close relationships we enjoy with our customers gives us a meaningful knowledge of their business challenges, unique operational environments, and their teams. This connection helps us to be highly accurate in our response to their needs and delivery of additional services to enable their growth and success. As we adapt to the new normal, our own operations have gone through some changes as well. The global business environment has rapidly evolved in reaction to COVID-19, and the agile response of Magic's team to this change is increasing our digital engagement model. Our priority remains executing our strategy for the remainder of 2020. We will continue to grow where we have already landed and leverage our investments. We remain focused to advance our competitive position as a one-stop shop for the SMB market with enhanced products and services. We seek business growth organically and with M&A, while we seek further opportunities to increase operating efficiencies and improve margins. While there continues to be near-term uncertainty from COVID-19, we remain focused on execution. We have taken appropriate actions to provide the necessary flexibility and operating efficiency with the current circumstances. Solid demand for our offerings with high repeating revenue and a solid balance sheet position us for success in this challenging environment. We are confident that as the global economy recovers, Magic will emerge stronger and well-positioned for continued growth. Turning now to first quarter business performance, I will now review our non-GAAP results followed by comments on the balance sheet, cash flow, and with our outlook for 2020 in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Our first quarter revenue totaled $85 million compared to $71.8 million for the first quarter last year, reflecting a year-over-year of 19% growth. The organic revenue growth was 8%, with the balance coming from the impact of NetFX acquisition completed during the third quarter of 2019. Looking at the geographical breakdown of our revenues during the first quarter, North America accounted for 47% of total revenues, Israel 41%, Europe 7%, and APAC and the rest of the world accounted for 5% of our revenue. Most of our growth in absolute numbers was traditionally from North America and Israel, which continued to be our strongest territories. North America accounted for 43% of our growth in the first quarter, and Israel accounted for 53% of our growth in the first quarter. Turning now to profitability, our non-GAAP gross profit for the first quarter of 2020 was $26.5 million, up approximately 12% compared to $23.6 million in the first quarter of last year. Our non-GAAP gross margin for the first quarter of 2020 decreased from 32.9% in the first quarter of 2019 to 31.1% in the first quarter of 2020. The breakdown of our revenue mix for the three-month period of 2020 was approximately 23% related to our software solutions and 77% related to our professional services, compared to 26% related to our software and 74% related to our professional services in 2019 as a whole. The decrease in the percentage of our software solution is mainly due to the acquisition of NetFX and the expansion of our professional services portfolio. The breakdown of our gross profit mix for the 12-month period of 2019 was approximately 45% relating to our software solutions and 55% related to our professional services, compared to 50% related to our software and 50% related to our professional services in 2019 as a whole. Moving to operational costs, R&D expenses on a non-GAAP basis in the first quarter of 2020 totaled $3 million, compared to $2.5 million in the same quarter of last year and $2.9 million in the previous quarter. The increase in our R&D expenses related mainly to the first-time consolidation of PowWow and to increase development efforts in our R&D center in India in support of our growing base of global customers. Our non-GAAP operating income for the first quarter of 2020 increased 9% to $11 million compared to $10.1 million in the same period last year. This reflects an operating margin of 12.6% for the first quarter compared to 14% in the first quarter of 2019 and 12.5% in the fourth quarter of 2019. Our non-GAAP tax expenses this quarter totaled $1.5 million compared to a tax expense of $1.7 million in the first quarter of 2019. Our effective tax rate for the three-month period of 2020 was 20% compared to 19% recorded in 2019. We expect our effective tax rate in 2020 to be in the range of 20% to 21%. Our non-GAAP net income for the first quarter increased 41% to $9.4 million, or 19 cents per fully diluted share, compared to $6.7 million, or 14 cents per fully diluted share in the same period last year. Excluding the impact of the devaluation of the new Israeli shekel versus the U.S. dollar during the first quarter on our financial income, net income would have increased by 26% to $8.4 million, or 17 cents per fully diluted share. Turning now to the balance sheet, as of March 31, 2020, cash and cash equivalents, short-term and long-term bank deposits and marketable securities amounted to approximately $89 million, compared to $98 million in the previous quarter. Our total financial debt as of March 31, 2020, amounted to $20 million, compared to $23 million in the previous quarter. The decrease in our total cash balances mainly resulted from a $15 million payment made towards an acquisition of 20% of the minority interest in Rostov Software Industries, Ltd., increasing our equity interest in Rostov from 60 to 80%. As part of our continued effort to improve our financial position and as a testimony of our confidence in our existing operations, Rostov is an Israeli-based software company with over three decades of proven experience in patient medical record information management systems and a market leader in Israel. From a cash flow perspective, we generated $13.1 million from operating activities in the first quarter. As to our dividend policy, we know that it states that in each year, the company will distribute a dividend of up to 75% of its distributable profit, subject to discussion of our board of directors to change such percentage or decide not to distribute a dividend. In determining the dividend to be distributed for the second half of 2019, our board of directors decided, in spite of the global impact of COVID-19, to approve a dividend distribution for the second half of 2019 in an amount of 8 cents per share, or $3.9 million, which in the aggregate with the amount distributed with respect to the first half of 2019 of $7.6 million reflects approximately 56% of Magic Software net income attributable to its shareholders for the year 2019 and demonstrates our continued confidence in our business and our ability to continue generating positive cash flow. The dividend is payable on June 25, 2020 to all of the company's shareholders of record at the close of the date NASDAQ Global Select Market on June 9, 2020. In closing, I would like to turn to our guidance for 2020. The global economy experienced significant disruption from COVID-19, and we have managed the pandemic's effects for both our employees and our customers worldwide. That said, our business model has shown its strength under this new business environment. From an operational perspective, we are a software company which fortunately allows us to reasonably begin to work from home. Today, 98% of Magic worldwide employees base is successfully working from home or from client sites. Gradually and carefully, employees are starting to return to our offices. As a result, we have a very high visibility of our revenue stream from existing customers, which is almost 80% of our revenue. These factors give us confidence for the remainder of the year. That said, we face some headwinds. Macroeconomic uncertainty is impacting the timeline to close new business and commence new implementations. As a result, we are revising our 2020 revenue guidance to a new range of $350 million to $360 million as compared to the prior range of $360 million to $370 million, reflecting a 2.7% reduction in the midpoint of the range. The operational efficiency measures we took to adjust our costs to the possible lower revenue expectations and our ability to do so across all departments differently allows us to minimize its negative impact over our operating profits. With that, I will now turn the call over to operator for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavi. Thank you for taking my questions. You talked about the impact that COVID-19 has had on new orders. Can you run us through some of the push maybe that you've seen from new customers? And do you think it's because they're just being conservative when it comes to new investments?
I think I will divide it into two folds. On one hand, we see young companies that are being a bit more cautious in terms to their cash flow and therefore postponing and delaying part of the project. And on the other hand, you know, the sales prospects that we had in the pipe, we assume that it will take longer to close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How is the M&A pipeline at the moment, assuming some of the valuations out there may have come down a little bit? Is there any color you can add on that?
Yes. We have probably four deals in the pipe. I would say that two of them started before this pandemic, and two of them came in probably as a result of, you know, people being more cautious and, you know, they think it's a good timing to mitigate the risks. But yes, you know, we are before due diligence and we need to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from Maggie Nolan of William Blair. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. You talked about some of the operating efficiencies that you're driving in the business. Can you talk through those in a little bit more detail and help us understand, you know, what that operating margin may look like in the second quarter or the third or fourth quarter as it compares to what you saw in the first quarter here?
Okay, so in the first quarter, I must say that we had three divisions that were underperforming, and therefore we, you know, got a hit and reduced the operating level to 12.6% rather than where we should be, around 14%. Having said that, we are working on the three companies to bring them back to their ongoing level. And at the same time, you know, because of this crisis and because you see that you can work in more efficient ways, we decided to take the extra step and improve the operating level. I believe we will see results more towards Q3.
In terms of steps that we had to take, we had, let's say, out of approximately close to 2,000 employees which are dealing with the billable project, we had to put approximately 150 people on unpaid vacation. We had some cost cutting in terms of salary adjustments or freeze of salary increase, which, you know, also are supposed to support the maintaining of our operating margins. I think the fact that the company already in previous years tried to support the movement of its R&D and delivery capabilities towards India and towards St. Petersburg also support our ability to manage and maintain a steady and solid operating margin.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then in terms of your top-line guidance and how you put that together, you know, what are the conversations that you're seeing maybe with clients in April versus May that kind of informed the composition of that guidance and how it may progress over the course of the year in terms of, you know, is June going to be weaker? Is there an expectation that there's a recovery towards December? Any color there would be helpful. Thank you.
Basically, during the month of March and beginning of May, we, you know, it was at least in Israel still the high peak of the corona shutdown. I can tell you that from approximately 150 people that were on unpaid vacation during these months, during May, it was at least cut by half. And currently, as we speak, we believe that by the end of May, we will have approximately 30 people that are still on unpaid vacation. So we see customers are, you know, asking us to bring back the employees, starting to engage on the work that was currently, you know, still in process. But you still see some hesitation of, you know, what to expect from them in the coming, let's say, at least in the third quarter. I think that in the fourth quarter, if things will pick up in the pace that they are currently seem to be picking up, we will see, you know, back to, at least somehow back to normal activity on the fourth quarter. But for the second and third quarter, you know, people are still on uncertainty level.
Understood. And then one quick housekeeping from me. What is the amount of organic growth embedded in that guidance that you gave for the full year? Thank you.
As we said, out of the 19% growth, 8% came from, basically we didn't do any acquisition, so everything is coming from the business that we currently have. But 8% coming from organic activity, and the remaining is from the acquisition that we completed during the third quarter of NetFX in the U.S., which was not consolidated during the first quarter of 2019. So it's like 40% organic, 60% non-organic. Again?
Will that hold for the full year expectation as well?
Meaning?
In terms of the guidance that you've put out there? Organic,
yeah.
Versus... Got it. All right. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Kevin Deedy of H.C. Wainwright. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. Asaf, you were going so fast, I missed the geographic breakdown of sales. Could you run through that again? Sorry to make you do that.
No, you always make me do that, so, you know, I'm already accustomed. Basically, there's no significant change. We are always between the 47, 48, to 49% in the U.S. and 38 to 41% in Israel. So this quarter it was 47% in the U.S. and 41% in Israel, 7% in APAC and the rest of the world.
Okay. Thank you. So, can you give us a little more insight on the valuation at Rostov and Comblack too, both? You guys decided to increase your stake. I'm just, you know, I know someone's already asked you about the M&A pipeline and you spoke in evaluations a little bit. I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, given your cash balance, you have a great opportunity to take advantage of changes in the environment. And I'm wondering what you see and what your focus is. Do you think you'll try to go for more professional services, or do you think you'll try to develop your technology capabilities? Could you give us some more insight on that?
Yes, as we say always, you know, we prefer the technology part. Unfortunately, the prices are way higher on the tech side. We are checking both as long as we see the synergies. Currently, we have like, let's say probably one tech company and three services companies in the pipe.
Okay. When you look across the world, certain countries are handling the pandemic differently. Like in Sweden, I don't think they did anything. And I think things were sort of scaled back in Germany versus other places. And I think Japan, too, is also trying to come back quickly. Can you talk to how you see countries now dealing with the pandemic and how that might change the way your geographic revenues grow?
I think that, you know, our main concern is the States. Although people are quite used to working from home, but still, it's still, in a way, it's a concern for us because, you know, you are still in this in the middle of this episode. I think in Israel, where we have like our other main revenue stream, we are in a good position, and we feel more comfortable today. As for the rest of the countries, I think in Europe, between Germany and France, Germany is handling it okay. France is probably less okay than Germany, but still, in terms of the business, it's for us, it's working okay. Japan, the same. The rest of them are rather small countries, and it's based on recurring business, so we are less concerned.
Okay. Guy, can you talk about Rostov and its capabilities and why specifically you wanted to increase your stake there, and whether or not you think you can take that skill set and use it in other countries?
Okay, so as for Rostov, we're talking about a very good and profitable company. We are struggling in terms of translating the operating level to the bottom line, and therefore we are trying to improve that. And as a result, we are going after the minorities in order, you know, to improve the bottom line on one hand, and on the other hand, still to let our partners over there still keep some kind of incentive. And since, you know, after like, I don't know, probably what, like 4 or 5 years that we have Rostov, we feel quite confident with this transaction. Not to talk about the fact that, you know, as a result of this whole situation in Israel, they are doing better and better. As for taking them out of Israel, we are checking some opportunities, but I must say that I don't, you know, at the end it's a very intensive project that usually involves like the Minister of Health in specific countries. So, yeah, to be seen. but all in all, the company is improving all the time.
It needs to be
okay.
When we first acquired Rostov, you know, the profit level that they did and the profit and the annual profits that they do now have increased by 40% from 2016 until the end of 2019. They have a very strong customer base. They are, as guys mentioned, they are doing very, very well because they are in the healthcare industry. The fact, you know, with this pandemic has also increased their activity now as it even got stronger without this pandemic, and again for us it's a better way to improve our ROI to our shareholders.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit about the professional service business in the U.S.? And I guess what I sort of resonates with me is a large retail customer that you have, and I know that they were going through a merger and they kind of scaled back their development activities, and now I guess on top of that, with the pandemic, it seems that they might be you know, even more reluctant to continue to invest. And I'm just wondering if you could talk to that example. And maybe what you see is a prevailing mindset. I mean, I know you've spoken very bullishly on the call about the opportunities that you have helping your client companies build their software capability. But I'm particularly concerned about what you see happening in those companies that have a retail facing and a retail presence.
Let's say the major ones that we're working with in the U.S. is CVS, and I don't think that the pandemic has made their business any less. Good than what it was before that, even the opposite. I think that, and again, we didn't see any decline in the operation. Again, the opposite. We sold even $2 million more this quarter than we had, and we sold them in the fourth quarter. So we even improved our operation with them during the first quarter. I think the problem that we are now facing is, how much can we rely on continued growth rather than, a standstill on the level of operation that we have with them thus far? That's the only question.
Okay. When you take a step back and you look at the development projects in general, there was a big driver for many of your customers to move more of their business to the cloud, and maybe more business to mobile. And I have the impression that you haven't seen that change much, and maybe it's even accelerated. And I was wondering if you could just maybe be more specific about the big drivers on development.
Well, I think what we can see, especially this pandemic and the situation, and we see it around the world, that customers, in one hand, still wants to go forward, on the other hand, they're not jumping right and left to any new ideas or new things. And this is positioning us in a very good place where we actually taking the road of legacy modernization. So we are an expert in legacy, and we also moving to the modernization. There is no big rush, and we see actually a customer a bit slowing down on the new high-level ideas or concepts, and are going to, okay, let's get what we have and take it the next few steps, which is, again, mobile or maybe some cloud services, but nobody's going in the big bang at the moment. And again, it's giving our existing customer a push back to our side.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about your own R&D? I know you made a big point in trying to improve operations by doing more development, outsourcing more development outside of Israel. I'm wondering, what's your development focus, and how do you see the investment dollars that you put in R&D helping your customers manage the current environment?
I think, again, the move that we did to India and to St. Petersburg proving to be very successful, obviously from the cost point of view, but also from the efficiency and the deliverables. We see we have a good set of skilled people, and they are actually doing a very, very good work on also delivering what we need as an ongoing, but also pushing forward to new ideas and new technologies. And again, we see it in the new features that we are bringing towards our cloud solutions, towards our mobile solutions, with our legacy tools that over the years, the development platform and the integration platform. So, again, we're not jumping to a kind of leapfrogging to a new product. We are actually taking our existing product with our existing customer, with our existing employees to modern technologies, methodologies, and way to deliver solutions.
Okay, gentlemen. Thanks for taking me through all the questions. I really appreciate it.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is from Asaf Barrel Shandali of Oppenheimer, Israel. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my questions, and congrats on a great quarter. Just kind of a technical question here, a two-parter. So for 2Q, anything that would kind of make you think differently about the usual seasonality where you're seeing sequential growth from 1Q to 2Q? And then what kind of assumptions are you guys making, whether they be macro or with respect to some of your customers that are driving the kind of the 2H20 guide? Thank you.
I think that for us, we don't see any significant change. Normally, in terms of seasonality, I'll say it in two words. One, the second half normally is much better than the first half in Magic. We normally have a much stronger second half than the first half. This is one. The second, again, in the second quarter, we had, as I said, we have like 7% of our headcount, which was on leave, unpaid leave. On the other hand, we managed to offset the impact. So that impacts our top line. On the other hand, we managed to offset that with the steps that we've taken and putting also our non-billable or back office personnel also on unpaid leave to minimize any negative impact on our operating profits. Also April is, the Passover Jewish holiday, which also, have some negative impact on our revenue, but this is something that, happens every year on the second quarter. Other than that, we currently, as we said, except for the uncertainty that are currently in the market, that we want to feel more conservative. And because of that, we slightly updated our guidance and lowered it by 2.7, lowered the midpoint by 2.7%. I think we pretty much, as we mentioned all through the call, feel very comfortable from the existing business that we currently have with our customers.
Okay, I guess just a follow-up here. Whether it be for results for the quarter, if you guys want to break out on a constant currency basis, what was the FX impact on the full-year guide?
Normally, we don't have a significant currency impact because wherever we have operations, we have a foot on the ground. So if we provide projects in Germany, we have an office in Germany where we have people that are, delivering the project, the same in Japan, and the same, of course, in the U.S. and in Israel. So normally we don't have any material impact of fluctuation. The thing that happened this quarter is that in certain areas we accumulated a significant amount of cash which was nominated in U.S. dollars, and once the U.S. dollar hit the 386 level versus the shekel, we converted the cash that we had on hand, so we managed to record a profit of around $500,000. And the second thing is the devaluation that we have over a loan that we have of around $14 million nominated in shekel, which was devaluated, and made the same amount of profit, around $600,000. So this is something like we call, let's call it funny money. So money that you have on hand and you just convert to shekels, or liabilities that are nominated in shekel and, based on change in currencies made their impact. But on the level of the actual operation, there's no much impact.
Okay, thanks for taking my question. Thank you.
Okay. The next question is from Nachum Moshitz. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to know, how do you position yourself to take advantage from the G5 revolution?
We have, we are working on some limited basis with on the telecom industry. I think that one of the, as Guy mentioned on the call, one of the P&L centers that was underperforming was the one that, is more focused on the telecom industry. We feel that we have, what it takes to get benefit from the G5 upgrade, but this is something that is yet to happen. So once it will happen, we are working with Ericsson. We provide projects and services to Ericsson. We are working around T-Mobile. These clients, you know, once we get, you know, this G5 going on, I think that it will have a positive impact on our operation. But again, it's on a limited scale. Something around, I think that the total revenues on an annual basis that we have from the telecom sector would be something around between $30 to $40 million out of the $350-$360 million that we anticipate for the year.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Bernstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, so thank you everybody for joining our call, and we hope to bring you some more good news in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the Magic Software Enterprises Ltd. First Quarter 2020 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.